It is Tuesday morning, time to talk money matters with our financial planner, Michelle Gravel. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
And Jim Burden from the Gravel's office as well. Good morning, Jim.
Hello, Paul.
You know, we started talking last week about those things that we need to do to plan for not just our retirement, but beyond retirement. And after we're gone and, you know, we leave our family members behind, we don't want to leave them with a mess, do we?
Well, we certainly don't want to leave them with a mess, and it can be very cumbersome, and it can be expensive, or it can be non-cumbersome, and have things go exactly the way you had planned, but you need to plan in advance. And one of the main things with trusts that we have found over the years, sometimes they're too complicated, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, of whether or not you even need one, but if you do have a trust or getting a trust drawn up, we see that a lot of people do not fund the trust. And what that means is once a trust is written up and it can be 20 pages long and you've gone through all the details, that is just a document. It's just a piece of paper, several pieces of paper. Until you use that document to retitle your assets, such as your brokerage account, your mutual funds, if you want your second beneficiary of your IRA to be the trust, your first having to be your spouse. But if you take a look at all that, you have to what we call fund the trust. If you don't retitle those assets in the name of the trust, which you're still the trustee and you still have total control over it of your own trust, so it doesn't, you do not lose control, but it makes the whole trust effective. If you don't do that, it's as if you never did anything. It's just a coffee table piece to to hang on to.
Yeah, this is where you really need to have, you know, sort of a team approach. You've got to have an attorney that can draw this up for you, but you also need to talk to your financial folks as well about what you're going
to
put in that trust.
Absolutely.
One of the things we point out is that everything doesn't have to be in a trust. If you have assets that are liquid, even if they're in stocks or bonds or annuities or different types of investments, all of those type of accounts have the provision for the beneficiary. These are things that have immediate instructions on what you want done with those assets and that money on your passing. They don't necessarily have to be in the trust. And I'll share this. A lawyer told me, and this might not be the case for everyone, depending on how complicated your situation is, but anything that you can put a beneficiary on, whether it's a bank account or an investment account, you want to do that. The trust normally is for real property like hard assets like land, real estate, housing, businesses, things of that nature. So you want to be sure to sit down with an attorney, but know that there are provisions in the investment accounts that will be directly distributed to your beneficiaries.
Yeah, and just because it's a joint account doesn't make it, you know, it doesn't mean the same as a beneficiary, does it?
Well, no, it doesn't. What a joint account does is literally give joint ownership and rights of ownership to whoever you have on the account. So if you name, say, a son or a daughter as a joint owner, not only do they have rights to go in and sign, take money out of that account, cash the whole account in, they could change beneficiaries, they can ask information about any account, but more importantly, it becomes an attachable item in their private financial situation and or estate, but even during their lifetime. If you have someone join on your account and that person goes through a divorce, a lawsuit, a settlement action, they technically own half of the account with you. So that is determined as part of their assets, even though that's not what you meant for it to be. And your son or daughter certainly doesn't, you know, feel like those are, that is their money. But by the law, looking at it, if they are joint owners and technically have the right to go in and take that money out, then they also have the right to use it to pay off any debts or settlements or things of that nature.
Yeah. One of the important things to do in all of this is make sure that you have a designated power of attorney, right?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, you definitely want to have a durable power of attorney, and that means that someone can sign for you. Obviously, it has to be someone that you can trust, and that's a very a situation where you want to take care in doing that. Another thing about a power of attorney, though, that a lot of people don't realize is that it only exists during your lifetime, or the person, if you're a power of attorney over someone else, it only exists during their lifetime. So if you have a power of attorney over your parents' account and something happens to one of them, that no longer exists, so you have to have other things in place if you're going to be managing the estate at some point. So there's a lot of nuances and caveats that it can be very complicated, but once you sit down and have all your ducks in a row, then you can take a deep breath and not have to worry about it. Maybe amend it or look at it every couple of years just to make sure everything's on track, But it's really important to sit down and get a few things in place and have them done properly.
Right. And having a contact person, a point person on all this is very important as well, isn't it?
Well, you might be getting in the mail recently brokerage services, banks are asking individuals to appoint a trusted contact person. Now, they don't have authority over the account, and the whole reason for this is trying to protect you as an account holder from fraud or coercion or unauthorized transaction in your account. And that trusted contact person can be verify your whereabouts, your health status, or identify and verify a legal guardian. Again, they don't have authority on the account, but it does give us an opportunity to verify something if someone calls in or we see activity in your account and verify someone other than yourself that can verify that people are who they say they are.
Yeah, that's a good idea. A lot of things to consider, and you can do that with your financial advisor. And if you want the Gravels to do that, we'll let everybody know how to get a hold of you. But, Michelle, do you have a money-saving tip for us this morning?
I do. It kind of goes along hand-in-hand with this, and we've touched on it before. If not only if you are a beneficiary or if you're naming a beneficiary for your accounts or if you are going to be inheriting money or if maybe you don't even know about it and you do inherit it, we just want to stress again how important that is to know how that money is going to be dispersed at the time. If you receive money, you should really take a look at there are different ways. You can do a stretch distribution where you don't take it all at once. It all depends on was the money retirement money? Was it tax-deferred money that's not retirement money? Is it stock? Is it mutual funds? Is it just cash? What are you inheriting? And then how do you take it out? Because if you take out $10,000, take it as a beneficiary, and you aren't doing it properly, it could be 10% in taxes that you didn't have to pay, which is $1,000. Or you can do the math on $100,000, that's $10,000, just because you could have taken it over a two-year period instead of all in 1 year, or you could have stretched out over 5 years, or you didn't know that you had a cost basis that you could use for tax purposes if you sold a stock, so you didn't have to pay the entire gain if your parents bought stock 20 years ago. So there are so many things of how to save taxes when you are a beneficiary, but you really need to sit down with an advisor and find out what those options are.
Yep, do it the right way for sure. If somebody wants to get a hold of the Gravels, what's the best way to reach you?
Sure, that's at our toll-free number, Paul, at 800-668-7135, or at any Tri-County bank, and the radio station itself, WPHM.
Indeed. Guys, have a great week. We'll talk again next Tuesday.
Thanks, I'll take care.
Have a good day, Paul.
Bye-bye. 1380 WPHM in Port Huron. That is Jim Burden and Michelle Gravel from the Gravel's office. We talk to them every Tuesday around this time and remind you that securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. The opinions voiced in this material are for general information only, not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing.